This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, 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 brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're here on Well, Well, Well with Jack and Jacinta, and we're now joined by Therapeutic Services Manager for South Australia, Venetia Brissenden. Long-time listener, first-time caller. No, that's not quite true. we'll have you on talking all things. Typically Thorn Harbour was doing stuff out at what we called the cottage for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Around alcohol and other drug. Before we get into, I suppose, the sort of bisexual visibility stuff and around LGBTIQ+ women's health conference, Thorn Harbour's been quite busy recently in South Australia.
We have
launched a mental health service, I suppose. I don't think we've spoken at length on Well 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 about that since it launched, right?
Yeah, no, probably not. So yes, we've been very, very busy here in Adelaide. It's been a bit of a crazy time, but a really great time. So we've just, we had the launch, I think, on the 31st of July in Adelaide, and that was terrific. We had so many people here. And I think that just kind of showed that there is a real appetite for a community-controlled organization to be delivering services to our communities in Adelaide. I think, the LGBTIQA+ community here has really been incredible at doing a lot of stuff on the smell of an oily rag with hardly any funding and a lot of volunteer hours and dedication and passion. And I think, you know, that really needs to be noted and celebrated. It's a great community that does a lot, but it's really great to see funding finally coming for these services and for that funding to be going to an LGBTIQA+ community controlled organisation, you know. And so we have had the drug and alcohol service here for a couple of years, quite, you know, small service. And now we have a specialist mental health service, which is just amazing. Like, you know, we're all just really excited to be working in that space and to be providing that service for our communities. And just seeing people come through now and starting to get a service, it's a great feeling. Yeah.
If you're listening and you potentially live in Adelaide or near Adelaide and you want to know more about that, you can head to thornharbour.org to find out more about the drug and alcohol service and the specialist mental health service as well. But we are rapidly approaching the LGBTIQ+ Women's Health Conference for Venetia.
Yes.
And I believe you have submitted an abstract for a workshop around the B in LGBTI. The title there is Am I Queer Enough? And, I suppose... interesting timing that we're recording this in Bisexual Visibility Week. It's from the 16th to the 23rd of September. You can only see bisexual people this week. They're invisible after that.
We disappear. We step under a rock.
I suppose it also is more broadly Bi Awareness Month. I guess, what does this time of year mean to you? And do you notice an uptick, would you say, potentially, in all things bi?
Well, I guess there's more bi stuff around, you know, on the interwebs and just generally. But, I like to think I'm visibly bi 12 months of the year, but it is good to have a month and you know, a couple of some events and things to kind of raise visibility, particularly for the other parts of the rainbow community. I think that's where I think it's particularly useful. And I think, you know, that it's sort of reflected in the workshop title, the Am I Queer Enough? I don't know that I think that seems to be the struggle for a lot of bi plus folk, is the place we go to look for acceptance and understanding and to make sense of our sexuality and our experiences of biphobia and bi-erasure is the queer community. And then often we experience exactly the same thing. And that's really, you know, it's really painful and it's really difficult. I think it's getting better. Obviously, it's getting a lot better, but there's still work to do, I think. And it means that we can experience a lot of uncertainty. And I mean, I guess, you know, what is it, the thing, one of the things that make that increase and build resilience for LGBTIQA plus folk generally, you know, it's that kind of communal, it's pride, right? It's being able to, you know, understand and accept your identity and live that with pride and celebrate it. And it's also about that kind of communal meaning making, you know, with other people around what does that mean? What does it look like? What does it mean to be bi, to live a bi life, all of that. And you want to do that with the rest of the community, you know, and sometimes that can be difficult. Yeah. So I think bi visibility is important. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, especially that existential question of am I queer enough is something that comes up time and time again. Like it's not, oh, okay, yeah, I'm bi, I'm queer enough, moving on. It's a constant conversation with yourself and with others in community, and reminding yourself, yeah, I am queer enough and I belong in this community. So what has that been like for you personally? Is it still something that you question yourself? Am I queer enough?
Oh, sometimes, yeah. Less so now. I mean, I work for a queer org. That's really helpful.
The validation you need, yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. but, yeah, sometimes I do. And I think another thing for bisexual folk is just you just have to come out constantly all the time, you know. I had to do a whole new coming out process when I started working at Thorn Harbour Health. It's like, no, I'm not a lesbian, you know. it was really messy for me really coming and like, you know, I'm old as the hills, like not quite, but I'm in my 50s and I came out in, you know, the 80s, and it was a very different world back then, and bisexuality really didn't kind of exist in my mind. And so I went through this really full-on process of you know, coming out as a lesbian at 19, you know, at a family dinner, by the way.
I'm a lesbian. Wow.
And then having to go back and go confuse myself and everybody else with like, actually, no, maybe I'm straight. And then like, no, I'm definitely not straight. You know, it was just, yeah. I think my mother got quite exasperated, actually. It was like, well, you just work out what you are.
Yeah. And is that a common thing for bisexual people to go through? I mean, we know the answer to that, but for our listeners, like having that back and forth, and can you just decide of which side you're on?
Totally. That is a very common. I really hope that is getting easier for young people now to be much more okay with sexual fluidity, I guess, and not feeling like you need to kind of pick a side, you know, that you can occupy this kind of other space. I'm really pleased about that, you know. I do think it is a lot easier than it was when I was younger, but I still think it's difficult, and I still think it's kind of because we have cultures, right? We have, you know, kind of subcultures or spaces or cultures where you feel comfortable. And for me, I've always been like, you know, most of my friends are queer, you know, and I've always felt more comfortable in queer community and queer spaces. And I've always felt very uncomfortable with the idea of passing as straight. Like it just feels like I'm just like hiding this whole part of myself. And you have to do that thinking of, you know, when do I come out? Do I come out? You know, do I have to correct people's assumptions constantly? You know, I wanted to always hang out in queer spaces with people who were not straight, you know, because I knew I wasn't straight. And that was really difficult. That was really difficult when it was just gay and lesbian. And bisexuality was not really understood or seen as a stable identity, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question. I feel like I forgot what
the question was. I mean, we could just chat. I think where my thoughts are going to is, what kind of reception do you get from people when you do correct them and say, oh, actually, I am bi? Are people like, you know, what kind of reception? And do you even have people who maybe come to you and say, oh, I'm bi as well, and like have someone to talk to about it for the first time?
Yes. Yes, I have had. And that's been really, really lovely. Look, it's weird, you know, because I say things are getting better, but you know, I've definitely in the last few years, you know, have had people respond with, you know, bisexuality doesn't exist. You know,
wow.
And people respond with, well, I'm fully gay. And I'm like, well, I'm fully bi. I'm not, you know, I'm not half something and half something else. I think that's a bit of a misconception, right? That being bisexual is like you're half straight and half gay. Well, you're not, you know, you're bisexual. It's its own discrete kind of way of being. And then you feel like you have to pull out your bona fides, you know, it's like, and people will check. But you were married to a woman, weren't you? Yes, I was, but I'm still bisexual. You know? And I think, you know, and sometimes I think, well, thank God I was married to a woman, because I can pull that out all the time. It's like, you know, legitimizes my. And I think people who maybe have never, who know that they're bisexual, but have never maybe had a relationship with a woman or a person of the same gender as them, or a person who's not of the opposite gender, you know, can feel that am I queer enough thing even more acutely, you know, is this legitimate? Is this, you know, and people shouldn't have to, no one should have to kind of, you know, give people a list of who they've been attracted to or had sex with to justify their sexual orientation, you know. So, yeah.
It's a bit bizarre, like if gay people were asking each other, like, well, how gay are you? Like, where are the receipts? It just is bizarre in comparison.
Yeah.
Here on Well, you're still with Jack and Jacinta. We're speaking with Venetia Brissenden over in Adelaide about her upcoming workshop at the LGBTIQ+ Women's Health Conference, Am I Queer Enough? Being the B in LGBTI. Stick around. We've got more coming up in just a moment.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're still with us here on Well with Jack and Jacinta, and we are still with Venetia Brissenden over in Adelaide, the therapeutic services manager there for Thorn Harbour Health, speaking about a little bit about their experience being bi plus, queer, and their upcoming workshop at the LGBTIQ+ Women's Health Conference, Am I Queer Enough? Being the B in LGBTI. I mean, in your abstract, Venetia, you mention how bisexual women struggle for both the legitimacy of their sexual identity and to be seen as having sexual agency, I suppose. Why is it important to have a space dedicated to discussing this?
I think the issues for bisexual men and for bisexual women are a little bit different. Mm. And I think there's this really interesting space for non-binary and trans people as well around sexuality and being bisexual too. But I haven't had that experience. But I think while bisexuality tends to get erased for everybody, I think it can also be fetishized for women, and it can be seen through the context of as a kind of a kinky heterosexuality, if you like, rather than a legitimate kind of sexual orientation that has nothing to do with men, you know. And so there's this idea that women are just playing, right? You know, that it's just being sexy and sexually playful, not actually about, you know, actually having a relationship with someone of the same gender or you know, something that is outside the kind of heterosexual dynamic. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for people to have the respect of the legitimacy of those, you know, of that sexual agency, regardless of whether it is an ongoing relationship or if it's a one-time fling.
Exactly.
Yeah. People dismissing what it means and taking away that sexual agency, for sure.
Yeah.
Is something that we see a lot. And is it something that people you find in maybe in these sorts of spaces, like a workshop at a conference or just conversations that people have with you, is it something that they are open to discussing and kind of like open up into that conversation, or do you find there's a bit of hesitation to talk about it openly?
I'm not exactly sure, actually. I think it'll be really interesting when we do the conference to see what the collective experience is. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why I think Carolyn Gillespie, my co-presenter, and myself want to do the workshop, because we really want to create a space for attendees to and participants to explore that, you know. Is this something that we all experience and all feel? I suspect that it is. and I think there's certainly a lot of, discussion in bi communities around not being, for bi women, I think, not being seen as making decisions for themselves with certainty about their identity and their attractions and their sex lives and all of that, that it's kind of in response to something else. I think that's going to be very interesting.
Admittedly, the LGBTIQ plus Women's Health Conference is still, it's about a month away of recording, but the workshop will present some of the latest research on the health and well-being of bisexual people and attempt to tease out some of the issues facing bisexual women in particular. I suppose from what your research so far has presented, Venetia, I suppose, what is the research saying?
So the research, and, it's not like there's a huge amount of it. There isn't really. When we talk about research, particularly in the Australian context around, rainbow communities, we're really talking about Private Lives 3, writing themselves in, those kinds of bigger pieces of research. And what they show is that pansexual and people who identify as pansexual, bisexual, and also queer, experience higher rates of mental distress, psychological distress, and poor mental health and suicide attempts in the previous 12 months than people who identify as gay or lesbian. I think that really speaks to that sense of not having a solid community, I guess, and all of those things that, as I mentioned before, we know build resilience, perhaps being more fraught or more difficult for pansexual, bisexual people. And I think people find it more, also the research shows that people experience more a sense of biphobia or panphobia, I guess, in workplaces, and much more difficulty kind of coming out in workplaces and feeling secure in terms of experiencing sexuality-based oppression and stigma and discrimination at work, which I think is really interesting, And I think just speaks to there's been a lot of work in terms of homophobia, and I think there's just been less work in terms of biphobia and what that is and what it's like to experience that. Of course, everyone in the, and I should say that, of course, this is really difficult for trans and non-binary people as well. I'm really comparing this to people who are gay and lesbian, not necessarily who are gender diverse. I think that's a different area. And we know that definitely the burden in terms of poor mental health and stigma and discrimination is much higher with trans and gender diverse folk. But I think for, you know, it's really interesting that, and when I say bisexual, of course, I mean pansexual as well. And also I identify as queer, and queer was just this fantastic term when queer to me existed really before bisexuality existed. So, you know, I love the term because it was like, oh, I don't have to explain. You know?
Yeah. yeah, when it's more complicated, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, so I think that's what the research is showing. And I think when you talk to bi plus people, that's generally what they'll say their experience is, yeah.
Yeah, and with those, I guess the really big impact on mental health especially and those other things that you mentioned, when you see that, I guess directly through the clinical work that you do, you know, working at a community-led mental health AOD services,
yeah.
What do you tell clients? Like, how can people support themselves when they do feel isolated or rejected by community?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, finding other bisexual people is always a really good idea. You know, and for a lot of people that might be online, it might be doing some research. I think a lot of the struggle, you know, and this is just anecdotal, right? This is just coming from my own experience and my experience working with bi plus clients, is that it can take a while to become comfortable with the fact that your sexuality is perhaps more fluid and may shift a little over time, that there are things to discover about your sexuality that might take a while, right? Because bisexual can cover a whole lot of, it's not that you 50-50, you know, there's a lot of nuance in it. You know, it's like you might be really sexually attracted to men and romantically attracted to more feminine presentations. When I say men and women, I'm probably meaning masculine and feminine, really. That you might be, you know, mostly have relationships with one gender but really enjoy connecting sexually with another gender now and then, or you feel like you're completely open to anybody, either sexually or romantically, and could have a relationship with anybody. It really differs for different people, and it can take a while for you to figure out what it looks like for you. What does it mean for you? And also that can also shift over time, and then you might find you go through that whole questioning again of like, oh, what sexuality am I really?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really that can be a difficult spot to inhabit for people, and coming to some acceptance of that, I think, can be a really useful thing. Yeah.
I suppose in the workshop, participants will be invited to explore their own experiences and to consider how the LGBTIQA plus community can be more inclusive for bisexual women. And again, we're kind of including pansexual women in that as well.
I guess, non-binary people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What are some of the things you're excited to discuss as part of that?
Well, I think we're hoping actually to develop a little bit of a, I mean, I won't say manifesto, but, you know, a set yes. of requests, right? You know, this is what we want. You know, LGBTIQA plus community and spaces to be aware of, consider, and the ways in which we'd like them to change, you know. And that's, I'm hoping that we're going to end up with a bit of a document, you know, coming out of this conference and this workshop, which is, I think, you know, thrilling. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so building something
together. I don't want to anticipate what's going to be in it because, you know, that's going to be up to the participants. But
exactly. Yeah. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. If you want to be part of the Bisexual Manifesto, make sure you attend Venetia and Carolyn's workshop.
I specifically said not a manifesto.
a document of sorts.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And more broadly, what are you looking forward to about being at the LGBTIQ plus Women's Health Conference?
Oh, look, I love it. I was so, you know, it's great that it's back again. And I just think what am I looking forward to? All the different perspectives, I guess, and all the different ways of exploring what is our experience? You know, what is our experience of being part of this community? And also the intersection, I guess, you know, of femininity or female gender. I mean, there's so many variations, yeah, isn't it? So, yeah, you know, and I just think it's a really, really interesting space. And there's always just so much great, passionate, thoughtful content. And also you could just get to hang out with a great bunch of people, you know.
Yeah, no, it'll be lots of fun. And yeah, we're very much looking forward to having you there and presenting your workshop,
Thank you.
The bee in LGBTI, am I queer enough?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on Well to discuss the workshop and to just have a chat. It's been a pleasure. And
oh, it's been lovely.
Yeah. Thank you very much,
Thank
Venetia.
You so much for having me.
We'll see you at the conference in October.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Well, supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ+ health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.